Hello, everyone. Let me get everything all set up. It's Q&A day, and I am going to start with talking about a topic I think will be super helpful. I literally was in the Facebook group this morning and saw someone posting about how they... Well, it's an interesting post. So let me just cover a few things. And before I do, let me get Coach Lisa up here. So if you have questions, y'all can put them in the Q&A. And then Coach Lisa will be answering questions there and in the chat. And then anything that she thinks that I need to answer, she will save for me. So that will be great. So I was in the Facebook group and someone had posted, and we had a lot of people who were like, me too, I get it. And then a lot of really good feedback on like how they overcame it. Someone was worried about how she was drinking water. She's doing her sleep. She's listening to calls. She's doing things. She's also making a plan each day. But her two biggest concerns that made her feel like a failure is that she's not following her plan yet, and she's not stopping at enough. And so her whole thing was about like, I don't know if I should stay. I'm thinking about quitting, but I also know that quitting is not going to be helpful, blah, blah, blah. Nowhere in there did, number one, did she give herself credit? She wrote it as if she's not doing anything, or that it's not good enough, or all of these bullshit thoughts. It's very easy to sit around and think you're not good enough, that you can't lose weight, or that everything is wrong when you're not doing it perfectly. And I watch y'all get hung up on this all the time, as if there's no other way to think about it, or that if you're not stopping at enough, or you're not following your plan each day, that equals you aren't going to be able to lose weight. It does not mean that you're not going to lose weight. That's not proving that you can't lose weight. If you're not stopping at enough, the only thing it proves is that you probably have some thoughts about stopping at enough that stop you from stopping. Most commonly, here's what I hear. If I ask, like, what is it going to take to stop it enough? Well, I'm not going to be able to finish everything on my plate. Not true. You can always serve yourself a little less and finish every fucking thing that's on that plate. We can do that. Or they'll say something like, well, just leaving two bites behind is not good enough. Not true. I want you to think about this. If you stop and left two bites behind for 60 days, which person will lose weight? The one who sits around for 60 days thinking that stopping at enough's not good enough, so they clean their fucking plate like a Hoover every day, or the person who leaves two bites behind thinking it's not good enough, afraid they can't lose weight, but do it anyway? Which one, if we had to take a wild guess in the chat, is probably going to make some progress? The answer is number two, because you set yourself up, number one, to prove yourself wrong, that leaving a couple of bites behind doesn't matter. 60 days of leaving two bites behind at every single meal, I promise you'd lose weight. As long as you're not doing that now, let's not do this shenanigan. Well, I know I'm going to leave two bites behind, so I'm going to serve myself extra. That don't count. That's called cheating. Watch out for your brain if it wants to do that. But if you serve your regular amount and you leave two bites behind at every meal, not only do you set yourself up probably to lose some weight, but you also learn how to be uncomfortable with not finishing. Because after 60 days of doing it, it will feel normal to leave food behind. You won't be overthinking it anymore. You won't even think it's not good enough. Those thoughts will start to go away because you're doing something that runs directly in the face of your bullshit story. Another thing that you will learn is when you leave two bites behind for 60 days, is you will learn how to do something you don't believe in yet. That's called weight loss. All of you, when you are sitting there and you think, I can't lose weight, Great. I don't need you to believe you can lose weight on day one. I don't care if you're on day 301. I don't need you to believe you can lose all your weight. I did not believe I could lose all my weight when I first started. It is irrelevant. And yet I hear y'all talk about it as if it's the most important thing ever. But I don't believe. But my brain says, blah, 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 blah. Who gives a fuck what your shitty ass brain says? Do you know why your brain says all that? Because you never actively work on thinking something different. What do you expect? To just listen to a video and be like, oh my God, my brain now knows how to think amazing, powerful thoughts for the rest of my life. That is not how it works. So if you don't believe you can lose weight, if you don't believe you can follow the plan, if you don't believe you can leave two bites behind, so what? You don't need to believe it to try. There's all, like, I can't tell you, like, I didn't believe Chris and I would ever even like each other. I hated his guts. Like, we worked at the same company. I thought he was just a douche. I thought he was a jackass. We called him a dickhead. That was like our most favorite moniker for him was, you know, the dickhead in IT. I did not believe that I'd get married to him and still be married after 20 years. And he'd be the love of my life. And that all I could do is just want to lick him up. You know what I believed on that first day? What a dick. It's a good thing I didn't be like, well, my brain must be right. Even when we first started dating, I didn't believe we could get married. I didn't believe anybody could love me for the size I was at. But you know what? I kept going out on dates. I kept entertaining him until I proved myself wrong. Most of you need to think about, like, a lot of you didn't think that you'd ever have kids. You didn't think you were cut out to mother. And here you are with children, all of them running around, and you kind of like them. We are wrong most of the time. Look at where you are in life. A lot of you went to college and you got a degree in something that you never used. Or that you worked in it for 10 years and then got an offer in doing something else. You don't have to believe something's going to work. You don't have to believe in any of it. But what you can do is believe in what you can do today. This is where we hack belief. So we want to make sure that what we're thinking about is this. I don't need to believe if I can lose weight. But I need to believe that there must be something today that I can do that's a little better than yesterday. I need to believe, like, if every day, like our person, if every day they're not following their plan, they don't need to believe that they can follow their plan today. What they do need to believe is that when they make their plan, they're going to find the one meal that they can give 100% effort into making sure that they eat that for the day. Can you believe in that? Take your belief and quit worrying about, like, do you believe in the big shit? Let's believe in the small things first. And for following your plan, so I want to teach a little bit about this. I've got some notes, but I just want to say this. When it comes to following your plan, y'all are not breaking this down small enough. So one of the things that I need, the coach, whoever's in chat, the coach, I think it's, we've got Lisa and we've got, Lisa, did it not ever bring you up? I'm sorry. No wonder you're not answering questions. It didn't bring you up. One of the things that I want you guys to think about is I did a coaching call on this, and I want to say, Kara, it was not this Sunday, but the previous Sunday, where I helped someone. They were like, I'm no good at following plans. And it was a lie. She had not drilled down what that even meant. So she was making a plan each day. She actually ate the breakfast and the lunch. That wasn't the problem. She had one meal that she really needed to work on. Dinner was her thing. And I would venture to say, most of you, this is your thing. It's dinner. Dinner is the one where, and let me tell you why this happens, because it's very normal for dinner to be the I'm going to blow my wad every day. you are emotionally tired by the end of the day. So the way that we attack this inside of No BS is two ways. Number one is when you make your plans in the morning, if you've been making plans for, say, 5 days, 10 days, 30 days, however long you've been making them, and you notice you have a pattern. Like, my pattern is I do pretty good all day long. I rarely waver. Like, I don't waver until dinner. Or maybe you waver when you come home from work, whatever it is. Figure out where your window is. That will get your brain out of thinking, I never follow plans. It's a terrible thought. It feels very hopeless. I want you to contrast this thought. I never follow plans to this one. I've been tracking my planning and my data shows dinner is where I should focus. I need to put my energy and effort just into dinner. Does that feel like a fucking ounce better? Yes. The whole goal here is to quit talking about everything like a fucking asshole. So, one is we want to figure that out. We want to figure out how we're going to talk about getting very specific, getting very clear, giving ourselves clarity, giving ourselves understanding, giving ourselves knowledge of what is the real problem here. The real problem is by the time I get home at night, this is where I break plans. This is the window that I can apply my energy and effort to. All right, so that's like the first part. The second part is if you are typically breaking things at the end of the day, you want to figure out what's really going on for you. So we do not want to do this like, well, it's because I'm comforting. It's because I'm lazy. I'm no good at following plans. That is not why. We want to ask ourselves why, like at a real level. If every night you're breaking plans by dinner, it's like, what goes on for me during the day that sets me up to have no willpower, no energy, and no desire for doing the things that I know my best self wanted me to do? And you really look at your day. Most often, this is what's happening. We don't realize how we're talking to ourselves all day long. So, like, you make a plan first thing in the morning. You think, I should be able to follow this. This feels very doable. And then when you get to the end of the day, if it's not doable, it's usually because throughout the day, you have underate to save up for dinner because you always overeat. That's one thing that happens. You don't need to save up. You do not need to go in at night starving and deprived because you're afraid you'll overeat. That's just setting yourself up to overeat over and over again. Trust if you nourish your body that the panic and the anxiety around dinner will start to come down. Another thing that we do is we stress ourselves out all day long. Like, are you worrying about what people think about you all day? Spend a few days listening to how you operate through the day. If you are like constantly worried about what other people think, if you're judging yourself all day long as a mother at work, let's say if you're a stay-at-home mom, it may sound like this, like, you know, I'm not a terrible mother. My kids should act better. You worry, worry, worry. Or if you're at work, you're worried about what your boss is thinking or about what your coworkers are thinking. You constantly think you're doing things wrong or you feel like you're always behind. If that's happening all day, yeah, you're going to go home at night and want to eat your face off to get away from all the self-induced stress. So if you want to not have yourself so jacked up going into a meal where you actually can follow through, we have to quit jacking ourselves up so much. That takes the thought work, y'all. This is why I give you module 2 of No BS. You need to address what happens beforehand all day and start working on your stories around that stuff. Use those four N's on what's going on during the day. Listen for what you think. Write some of those thoughts down. You don't even have to process them. You don't need to like stop, drop, and do a 4-in cycle. Just listen to things that feel hard or stressful in your mind all day long. Write them down so that then the next day you can go back through and think, okay, is this how I want to go through my day thinking? Like, can I think a little different? Is some of this stuff even true? So often when you really look at some of the stuff your brain automatically offers up about you, you realize it's not really true. You don't even have to argue with it, but just having that awareness will help you start taking the temperature down each day. So for all of you, let's talk about 24-hour planning. And the good news is next month, we are doing all kinds of stuff about 24-hour planning. Like, we are going to deep dive like motherfuckers. But right now we're doing the drop it like it's hot challenge. So this week, don't forget what we're trying to do during July is help you be very motivated, work together as a group, and lose some weight. So this week there is a doable hunger level up and it's on the clock. So if you go to the live training replays, you're going to have a quick hit from me or from Coach Christy. You can just go to the Drop It Like It's Hot homepage, and Coach Christy will be telling you about how to do a level up on the clock. On the clock is always a great way to figure out if you're actually hungry before you eat. And then the other thing that we have for y'all this month is we are doing the quick hits drops into your live training feed this month. Just so everyone knows, we are eventually going to have that as its own podcast, but we had a technical glitch and I am not going to roll something out to y'all that ain't going to work. So I'd rather not give you that podcast, but give you the recordings and the live trainings. But then once we get that podcast set up, we will tell you when, we'll tell you how to subscribe, and we will move everything over there for you. But I still wanted y'all to get your quick hits this month. So every day in the month of July, check live training replays, because you are getting a quick hit from me that addresses every little thing possible to help you with your weight loss. And then if you are in maintenance, please don't forget Mastering Maintenance is brand new and there's a maintenance planner. So make sure you check that out. It's all on the website. So let's talk about how to follow your plan, even when you don't want to. All right. The first thing that has to happen is it's got to be doable. You need to really look at it. A lot of y'all will say it's doable because you should be able to eat that way. That doesn't mean it's doable. That means you're still planning as a should. If you're having a problem following your plan, we want to get to where you can follow the plans for this reason. When you make a plan, you make your plans with your, what we call the best self in mind. All right. So there's two versions of you. There's the version of you who has their reasoning brain, the part that thinks and makes decisions. It's most often at its best first thing in the morning. This is why we ask you to do it first thing. Doesn't mean you have to, but there is science that goes like this. When you sleep at night, your brain basically has the cleanup crew come in. And when you dream, when you're in your deep sleep state, your brain is organizing all of its thoughts. It's clearing out a lot of the emotional mess. It's like tidying things up for you. So when you wake up in the morning, your brain doesn't rely on the habit brain near as much. It engages your reasoning brain. Your reasoning brain is the one that thinks about your goals, your whys, your best self. It's the one that makes plans. It's the one that thinks through things. It does all the work, right? That's why we have you do it. And so we want you to make decisions ahead of time with your food for the entire day with your best self's brain. Now, your best self is not planning what it thinks is the perfect way to lose weight. Your best self won't use its old rules. Your best self is making adjustments and it's making plans each day based on what's coming up for the day, patterns that you're noticing in your planning, how you think you'll feel at night based on what's been going on for you. You want to make your plans from that version of you. And you want your plan to be pretty specific. So if you're going to go to McDonald's for lunch, we do not write in at lunch, McDonald's. That's not a decision ahead of time. That's you opening the door to negotiation at McDonald's based on how you feel or based on how you've always ordered. So back in the day when I was losing weight, I made my plan. I said, I'm going to McDonald's. And I knew that my usual order was a number two supersized mayo instead of mustard, an Oreo McFlurry or Butterfinger, depending on how crazy I was getting, with a Diet Dr. Pepper. That was my usual order. So when I first started making my plans, I would write down that I wasn't getting mayo. I was going to start switching to mustard. Like, that seems like a reasonable trade. That's a level up. That's me doing a little better than last time. Let's try this out. When it was really clear on my plan, it was a lot easier for me to follow the plan. My best self in that moment knew that I was not going to go to a McDonald's and go from my normal number two to a dry ass chicken salad. Corinne today actually likes to get chicken salads and stuff. She likes chicken salads better. Because if she goes and gets number twos now, she gets the diarrhea. But back in the day, I was like, I don't care if I get the shits. My enjoyment of the food, my wanting of the burger and stuff was way more important than my diarrhea habit. So you just got to know where you're at. So best self is making all of the decisions ahead of time. And you do that by thinking through what's working. What's not working yet? Where are my patterns and what can I do? So if you are someone who notices that you're good at making plans, but you do not want to follow through at night, first thing to do is to make sure that what you're planning at night, your tired, stressed, I don't want to version gets planned for. Because right now, you haven't fixed why that person is tired, stressed, and don't want to yet. If you keep planning like you think you should, but you're not addressing the real issue and solving that for that person, you will just continually fail and fail and fail and fail. And then you'll think something's wrong with you. And there's nothing wrong with you. You're not addressing the problem and you're trying to set yourself up to like, not, I'm going to take away the one way that I know how to relax. I'm taking away the one thing that I know that helps me unwind for the day, the food. What we've got to do is learn how to like, if I'm wanting to unwind, if I'm wanting to cope or whatever, I need to make the challenge with food so doable that I can follow a plan. I can be learning the skill of following a plan, learning the skill of deciding, learning the skill of leveling up, learning the incremental things while I'm also addressing what's going on to begin with. Because once you address that, you'll notice it will be easier for you to continually improve that meal. So like for me, eventually it was, you know, no mayo. It switched to, all right, I'm no longer supersizing. We're just going straight in with how it comes. The next step, I gave up the Blizzard because I was already eating ice cream at night. It made sense to me that like, I don't really have to double down on ice cream anymore. I'm giving myself ice cream every night. So I don't need to feel like I have to have it at lunch too with McDonald's. But it was this continual improvement that was happening. So the first thing, if you notice you're not following your plans, make them doable and really doable. I would much rather you sit every single night thinking, this isn't good enough. No way I could lose weight eating this, blah, blah, blah. But learning how to follow through, even when you don't believe in it, learning how to override all that and eat the food, then for you to do it this way. Plan something ridiculous that you know you ain't going to follow through on, or that it's going to be so hard, you're setting yourself up to argue tooth and nail not to do it, then every single night not follow through and then beat yourself up for not being able to follow through. We can quit practicing that version of you anytime you want. So if you're going to do it the hard way, do the hard of thinking it won't work and doing it anyway. If you want to feel like ass, I would much rather you feel like ass every single day doing things you don't believe in so that you can prove yourself wrong than to sit around and feel like ass every day, setting yourself up to do things you know damn well you probably ain't going to do, and then feel awful about yourself and prove yourself right every single time. Because it's always about what you think. So let's be on the hunt to prove ourselves wrong. The second thing, you got to use those assessments and habit trackers, y'all. They will help you notice the patterns. So I want you to really look at what we've been talking about. Where are my overeating windows? What is my data telling me? And here's an important question. If my data wasn't telling me something's wrong with me, what else would it tell me? So that you can get to the facts of what it's trying to tell you. Your data never tells you anything personal about you. That's your brain. So if the first thing you need to do is just like, all right, here's my bullshit thoughts about what I think it's telling me. Here's my self-loathing side. Great. Write it down just to get it out of your head. Then come back and say like, all right, now that that's out of the way, what does it really tell me? What is it telling me factually? What patterns is it telling me? And if you can't figure it out, you have asked coaches. Go take your data to them. So like, here it is. What could this be telling me? What questions could I ask of my data so that I can figure out what's really going on here? And then the last thing is use your why for planning so that you can, what we want to do with planning is we want to build some trust with ourselves that you will say you'll do what you say you're going to do. For me, when I first started losing weight, the only way that I was going to get to where I did what I said I was going to do was I had to do things that I didn't think were going to be good enough. I couldn't believe that I could lose weight. I just didn't have the bandwidth in my brain for big shit. So I just had to decide, was I going to sit around and make small changes and go through the suffering of this is like against perfectionism and this isn't good enough and all this other stuff? Or was I going to sit around and feel hopeless all the time? I just always figure if the best I can do is give myself two hard choices, I'm definitely going to take the hard choice that will give me the best result. And that's just where some of us are. We're just not at the point where we can give ourselves like hope and optimism and all this other stuff. I think it's great if you can. I want that for all of you. But I think some of you are so like, it's so ingrained in you that you're going to fail. It's so ingrained in you that you can't do this. It's so ingrained in you that it's hard for you. That now we just have to give ourselves two hard choices. It's not good enough. And it feels hard to do it when I feel like it's not good enough. Great. Do it anyway. Just do it anyway. Or I can't lose weight. I'm not good enough. This won't work. That feels hard. So I just won't. Get no result there. So just decide which one you're going to take. One day what you'll find is you'll come to this middle ground. Every little thing I do is good enough. I would rather be making progress in a small way than to be stopping myself for simply because I don't like my thinking right now. Your thinking is no longer worth you quitting over. Your thinking is no longer worth you stalling out. Your thinking is not for you to believe anymore. If it don't feel good, don't believe it anymore. Just say like, it's probably just some thought error I'm having. Your brain is just going to tell you bullshit all the time. The people who will lose weight will quit believing the bullshit and do shit until they convince themselves to think a new way. Stop waiting around for your brain to just get online and have happy thoughts and motivating thoughts for you. That day's probably not coming. It doesn't come until after you've done some stuff when it wasn't motivating. And then you prove to yourself, I can do stuff. I can do more than I think I can. I'm very, look how wrong I am. A lot of you are actually making plans and you're so focused on that you're not following them. There's not even taking the time to be like, if I can make plans, I probably can figure out how to follow them too. It's just going to continue to take time. And don't get stuck just sitting there trying to do it yourself. Ask for help in your Facebook group. Ask for help. People will give you, they love talking about plans. They will give you all kinds of things that they tried and helped them get to where they can follow them. Don't make it so hard on yourself. Like, I'm so ashamed. Not following plans. I don't want to admit it to no one. Blah, what will they think? You know what they're going to think? Hey, I used to do that too. I'll help you. Here's what I did. It is a gift you give to people to let them help you. Because if someone's overcome something, guess what happens? When they share what worked for them, they feel better about themselves. It like starts cementing to them that they're changing, that they have figured things out. So don't deny people that gift all because like you got some false ass lie in your head that we're all sitting around and we can't wait for you to post in Facebook so we can go in and laugh at you. That has like never happened. I've only had this group for like, what, 15 fucking years? Probably a million posts at this time. And that has never happened. You will not be the one person that it happens to. All right, let's go on to some questions. How do I get the Quick Hit podcast? It still says coming soon. Yeah, it's still coming soon. It is right now. The Quick Hits are dropping live inside the Live Training Replays podcast. So if you go to your phone, look at the Live Training Replays, we're putting them in there for now until we can make sure that when you sign up for the new podcast, that it's seamless. And when that is seamless, we will move everything over for you so that you'll have it. What do you do? What to do when we have binge eating? You want to go to the course called Trusting Your Body. That was written not just for binge eaters, but it had like my friend who is a binge eater. She's the one that crafted that program. I would take the Trusting Your Body course. That will be a really good course for you to take. It gets you in touch more with your feelings. A lot of binge eating, it goes around building trust. We often have like a broken relationship with our body. We think we are out of control with food and blah, blah, blah. And we break trust with our body. And so what we want to do is reestablish trust to help you with all the different little facets that come along with that. So if you go to Trusting Your Body in the self-study resources, that'll help you. Does adding a couple of pinches of good salt to your water help the body absorb the nutrients, or do you still just pee everything away? I really don't know. You'd have to Google that one. That's a new one to me. I don't know. I mean, you're going to pee a lot no matter what. All right. So salt is an electrolyte. It's like, it's one of the, there's potassium, salt, magnesium. Those are the three main electrolytes that we need to keep in balance. You could look it up, but I don't think just drinking like your normal amount of water is like washing your nutrients out. I don't know that I would worry too much about that. I don't personally worry too much about that. You could Google it and probably find out, but I do know that especially like in the summer months, if you, like, if I work out a lot outside, so if I was training for a race and running a lot and like probably sweating for more than an hour a day and like really dumping a lot of my sweat and stuff, I might add any type of electrolyte, like some salt or something, just because my body's losing a lot. But unless you're doing something strenuous, if you're just drinking water and stuff, I don't know that you need to, I don't know that you need to like worry too much about it, but you could Google it. How do you shut down those thoughts that come fast and hard telling me I can't do this? We don't shut them down. That is where a lot of you are missing out. We're not here to shut them down. Everybody repeat after me. My job is not to shut down the thoughts. Here's why this is important. Those thoughts are going to come the rest of your life. They're probably not going away. So if you think you're supposed to shut them down, you will always think you're failing at it. Something must be wrong. These thoughts just keep coming back. And then you spend a lot of time and energy in, I must be broken because I keep thinking these things. We don't need to shut them down. You need to hear them. I always tell myself, I am grateful that I'm hearing my doo-doo thoughts. And here's why. If I hear it, then I can tell myself what I do want to think. We're really in the game of, as these thoughts are coming in, you want to get to know your most recurring ones. You want to challenge them on paper. You want to poke holes in them. So there's two ways that we attack this. Number one is we don't shut the thoughts down. We're just like, I knew that thought was coming. I think I'm not good enough all the time. That's all right. It doesn't mean that I can't do this. It just means that I'm thinking I'm not good enough. I'm working on that right now. Sometimes I believe it. Right now, it feels very true, but it's still just a sentence. So if you just do that, you have helped yourself. I want you to think about it. You've given yourself relief. You've given yourself space between the thought. It's very different than like, I'm not good enough. Yep, that's true. I should just quit doing this. So we want to make sure we create that space. The second way that we attack these is on paper. So if you notice, like you said, how you shut down these thoughts that come fast and hard, telling me I can't do this. You already have, your brain has given you a gift. Your brain is saying, hey, Anonymous, I'm afraid that you can't do it. So I'm going to tell you this thousands and thousands and thousands of times over and over again, because I'm really afraid we can't do this. What your brain doesn't know how to say is, so if you would just tell me reasons why we can, I'd feel better. Your brain is just like, I can't do this. If you'll just stop doing these things, then I can quit worrying that we can't do this. Your brain is a fucking toddler on steroids. So we want to make sure that we're like, oh, if my brain is telling me I can't do this, it's not because I can't. It's because it's afraid we can't. That means that I've not given it enough reasons on paper every single day to prove to my brain why this time is different, what we're currently learning, why it doesn't need to be afraid that we can't do this. Like, you don't have to be convinced that we can do this. You only have to be convinced that today we'll make a doable plan. We don't have to think about tomorrow. We get to just think about each meal today. Like, we can like not have to worry about that. And that's all you have to do. So we attack it from two different angles. There is a worksheet for my team. I believe it's in the worksheets. It's a Believing New Things worksheet. Go to the helpful worksheets and see if it's there. Somewhere I taught where you can take a thought that you really want to shift. Like, I can't do this. I suck at following plans, whatever it is. You want to, there is a, like, I think there's four columns. So if y'all will go look for that, there is a Believing New Things worksheet. I would use that on those most common thoughts, because our job isn't to shut them down. Our job is to prove them wrong by taking new action, by coming up with new ways we're going to think about it. So that in the process of them coming in, the more you do that work away from the thought, your brain has other thoughts to also access along with it. So it'll often look like this. When you do, like when you sit there and be like, all right, here's the reasons why we can, here's the reason why we don't need to be afraid, this is why it's different this time, and you do all that work on paper. 2 o'clock rolls around. You did all this at 8 a.m. Your brain is like, oh, there's no way you're going to lose weight. I cannot do this. Then all of a sudden you'll hear like a little whisper and your brain will say like, yeah, but like, remember this morning when you were writing about. That's what we want to have happen. We want like the duality of the thoughts happening. I am fine if for the rest of my life, my brain throws a shit wad first and I feel a little bad. I'm like, why am I feeling so bad? And my brain offers up because you're thinking this. If that's all that ever happened for the rest of my life, I would take it and I would be a successful ass bitch. And that's about all I ever do now. Is the moment that I hear one of those hard thoughts and I just tell myself, why am I feeling so bad right now? It's because I'm thinking this. In that moment, I know that whatever my brain just told me isn't 100% true. Just because it might feel true in the moment, I know intellectually, like, it's still just a sentence. It's still just a perception. It's still just an interpretation. And if I asked someone else, they might even tell me a different thing to think. I don't need to know what that is. I just need to know that there's probably something else I could be thinking. That gives me hope. That gives me relief. It gets me out of what I was thinking. And that's plenty. But then a lot of times when I do a lot of this work on paper, when you're talking to your accountability groups and you're like working through yourself, it's like, all right, here's my shitty thought of the day. Here's like 5 different ways I could think about it. What happens is then you have that duality come in where your brain will offer what it always thinks first because it's so used to giving you that first. Then it will say like, and I know that you've been working on this too. It's like it now, which one you want, Corinne? Which one you want, Anonymous? Now I'm giving you 2. It just makes it a little bit easier. What is the difference between doing hard things and willpowering? I think it's probably the thought behind it. Absolutely. So if I'm going to do something that's hard, I have 2 ways to talk to myself. Let's say that, let's say we're all going to plan tonight to eat a dry ass chicken salad. No dressing. We're going to go old school. I tell you what, we'll make a salad like I used to make in the 90s when it was low fat time. Like you didn't get no cheese. You didn't get no eggs. You didn't get nothing on. Basically, you got vegetables and fat-free dressing. So we're all like, this is what we're having tonight. One thought could be, this would be willpowering. I have to eat this. The only way I could lose weight is by eating this. Doing something hard would be like this. I'm going to try this salad tonight and I probably won't like it, but it's only for one night. So when something, like when you're going to do something hard, if willpowering is where you're having to make yourself do it, but you're making yourself do it with a really shitty story behind it. I have to, I should, you're a loser. If you don't do this, you'll fuck everything up. Like, I want you to think about it. It'll be talking to yourself in a way you would probably never talk to your own child or your best friend. Now, if you were trying to convince your child or your best friend to do something they really didn't want to, you would not look at them and say like, well, you have to, you fucking loser. You would probably say like, let's just get through it. Let's just see what happens. I bet it won't be as bad as you think it is. You might even tell yourself, you may not want to, but you need to, because if you do it, here are the things that you'll be proud of tomorrow. Here are the things that it will help you with. That's when we're doing hard things from an energy where we're encouraging and motivating and supplying a why behind it. Most of us, what we're doing is we're just like talking to ourselves like a butt wipe the whole time. How long after starting consistent weight training would you expect to start seeing weight loss if you found that the scale has stayed the same a couple of weeks? If you start weight training, I would probably say about a month, because it takes about 3 weeks when you start lifting weights in order for your body to not get as sore. So here's how weight training is. Number one, you go in, you lift weights. You hadn't done it in a while. You're gonna be sore as fucking shit. Like a boil has sprung up on your muscles. All it's done is like your muscles are not used to being ripped and shredded. So when you lift weights, you damage the muscle. That's just how it works. And that's a good thing. And it makes micro tears throughout your muscle. Well, the only way for the micro tears to heal and to grow is for you to drink water. And when you drink water, every single one of them swells up. So your muscles hold a lot of water while it's repairing. When you first start working out for about 3 weeks, you get so many micro tears that your body stays flooded with water the whole time. So you may be losing fat, like your body might be actually dumping fat, but because it's holding so much water in the repair process, you don't see that on the scale. The scale is a lagging indicator for how you're eating. It is a lagging indicator to working out and all kinds of stuff. After about 3 weeks, a lot of those areas on your muscles won't tear so much anymore. So there will not be as much water being held. So I would at least give it 3 weeks to see what happens. If you have been lifting for 3 weeks and you're still not seeing any budging on the scale, make sure you've gone through and looked at, like, are you still waiting for hunger? Are you still stopping at enough? Because a lot of times, the second people start lifting weights or the second they start exercising, here's what happens. A little bit of grab assing starts happening. Well, I can have this. Well, I worked out today. You know, I'm trying to build some muscle, so I better feed the muscle. Y'all, unless your ass is training for a powerlifting competition, you ain't got to eat extra. I lift wicked heavy at least 4 times a week, and I don't eat no more to do what I do. And I lift for 45 or 50 minutes on a body part. My job is to try to get my ass as sore as possible every single time. And that's it. Just eat normally. Corinne is talking about how we don't follow or make our plans because we don't think they'll work, or we don't think we can lose weight with the plans we are making. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes that's what's happened. Here was my thought. No, I know it'll work and I know I can lose weight. I just have to try. I haven't tried hard enough. I have that thought because I don't always remember what I have in my kitchen or what my options are until I see them. All right. So if that's all that you're having the experience with, here's what I would do. Don't make your plan in the living room. Guess what? If you don't know what's in your kitchen, where should you make your plan? Standing in the fridge. Looking at the pantry. That's an easy solve. Like, if that's all that's happening, is like, well, I forget what's in there. Well, then don't make a fucking plan sitting on the couch. The couch can't tell you what's in the kitchen. So for a lot of you who do that, go in there. Remind yourself. And if things change, here's the other question. Let's say somebody orders a shift behind your back and puts new food in there between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. What is the, why is it so hard or so bad or so painful to just eat what is on your plan anyway? There will be a thought like, ooh, I didn't know that was in there. Okay. Plan it tomorrow. That's what I would tell my brain. Then plan it tomorrow. You ain't getting deprived because you can't eat it today. It's not like you live in some third world country where that's the last opportunity you're ever going to get to eat for 20 more days. I mean, a lot of us need to wake up a little bit. We're sitting here planning food we want to eat, and we're still trying to think we're being restricted or deprived. Like a little dose of reality sometimes is what your brain needs. I was like, is the worst thing that's going to happen is you don't get to eat the Cheetos tonight because you didn't know they were going to be in the pantry at 6 o'clock at night? That's not a catastrophe. Like, we have to tell our brain because it will want to make that a catastrophe. But, oh my God, like diet mentality. If you'd known those Cheetos, now you can't have the Cheetos. Oh my God, we should like eat the Cheetos now. It's like, no, I'll eat the Cheetos tomorrow. You know what the catastrophe is? Thinking that, like, prioritizing Cheetos and making that so important that I'm missing out on the rest of my life. That could be a catastrophe. Let's see, what's the rest of it? And here's why that thought is jacked up. One of my accountability partners caught this one. This is one of my old shitty thoughts streaming from when I was a gifted child with undiagnosed ADHD. I had so much potential if only I would try, or if only I would apply myself. My calendar barely challenged me last week with the counter thought, what if you don't have to try? What if applying myself is not necessary? So now I have this thought, but I don't know how to counter it or what to do with it. I would just ask myself, like, first of all, I would just tell myself, who gives a shit if they misdiagnosed me as a kid? What does that have to do with what I'm fixing to put in my mouth at dinner? Like, that's step number one. It's like, I can see where my brain wants to think that I'm not trying hard enough. Because that is something that I've got a hangover from childhood on. But here's what I do know. I'm making plans. I just need to eat what's on my plan tonight. That has nothing to do with my effort. I don't need to set myself up to try hard. Because if you have this idea that you are supposed to try hard, you'll make it hard on your efforts. What if you're supposed to just do, and it's not supposed to be hard? It's not supposed to be dramatic. It's not supposed to be all those things. You're just supposed to show up and eat what's on the plan. And then you let all those other thoughts come in and you're just like, we're not a kid anymore. Those people were just wrong. I'm going to quit, like, you know, living my life based on something somebody told me at 12. Like, I always love it when my brain offers me crap that I thought when I was 12 years old. I always tell myself, Kryn, you're like 48. You're a 48-year-old woman with free will. You get to think what you want now. So what if somebody when you were 12 said blah, blah, blah? Their opinion mattered at 12. At 48, there's only one opinion that matters now. That's yours. So I'm the one that has to give my opinion respect. That is not for something else to be unwound. How do you lose weight if you can eat all you want and without restriction? Because we're not eating all we want. We are planning foods that we want, and we're eating them when we're hungry and we're stopping at enough. That's not restriction. That's what your body was planned and intended to do. The good Lord gave you a stomach and a brain for a reason. They want them to talk to each other. The stomach does not want to be overfilled at all. If you think about it, every time we overeat, do we ever feel really actually good? If you really drop in, you're like, probably not supposed to be getting heartburn. Probably not supposed to be winded after a meal. Probably is not supposed to have to like undo my pants. You might emotionally feel good because it's blocking a lot of self-loathing thoughts. Or blocking, like, you know, maybe you feel like you and your partner don't get along, like aren't getting along like you used to. So you overeat at dinner so you don't have to sit there and think about the distance that is of your relationship. That's very different than how your body responds to being overfilled. So we're not just like, and for all of you, we're going to talk about this next month. When I say you can eat anything you want, that does not mean I can have anything I want and disregard my goals, disregard how my body's talking to me, disregard my enough, and disregard my hunger. That is not what I teach you. If you think that's the message, you take your happy ass to module one of No BS and re-listen to those modules. Because only one time did I tell you to do that. Here's what we talk about. You put shit on the plan and we honor our body. And we wait for hunger. We learn to stop it enough. And you pay attention to how food feels in your body. If you listen to the good, better, best program or lesson in module two or module one, we talk about that. You want to make sure you're really listening. You may be starting. It's just like the reason I don't eat McDonald's anymore. It's not because I'm restricting McDonald's. After I really started paying attention to how I felt, like it tore my stomach up most of the time. I didn't even realize how much it was tearing my stomach up because I just thought that was normal until I started eating differently. And I was like, oh shit. Like, I would end my days with my poor hands so swelled, it was hard to bend them because I was eating so much fast food and so much salt that I couldn't even pee it all out. And when I started seeing all this, I'm like, huh. Maybe I don't want these foods as much as I think. Maybe I can start leveling up out of some of this because even though I like the taste of it, I really don't enjoy the physical side effects. So that's how we start doing all of that. Why is it so hard to eat what's on my plan? Feeling controlled makes me want to rebel because you're thinking that it's some kind of control rather than thinking, I put that shit on the plan. Nobody's telling me to eat anything. I am free to put whatever I want on this damn plan. Isn't that amazing? If you had that conversation every day, you wouldn't need to rebel. But most of y'all are making a plan and been like, well, this is what you should eat today. This is the only way to lose weight. This is what you have to put down. You can't put this other stuff down because if you did, it would not be good enough. That's why you want to rebel. But if you talk about it like, I'm in control. I'm the only one making the decision. I ain't got to do anything. I choose to follow it tonight. Nobody's telling me I have to eat what I put on my plan today. Nobody, including me. I don't even have to tell myself I have to. You know what? I choose to for these reasons. I choose to because I'm sick and tired of waking up each day thinking I'm a big ass rebel. You ain't no rebel. You're caving. Y'all think you're like I want you to think about a rebel. A rebel is rebelling against a cause or something. What cause are you really rebelling? What are you standing up for? I think when we're breaking our plans, we ain't rebelling shit. We're not taking a stand at all. I was eating pretty good foods on my plan and lost 50 pounds. Then I started eating comfort foods off my plan and have gained 10. So I've been putting the good foods back on plan, but I feel out of control now and have been struggling with my choices. All right. So if you feel out of control, Allie, that's because you're thinking something's gone wrong. Instead of thinking like, here's how I can fix this. If you don't want to feel out of control, do not allow for out of control feelings or out of control thoughts. Write about how you're going to tackle this 10 pounds. Like, I'm really, like, you could be telling the story of, I'm really glad that I noticed at 10 pounds what happened. So now what I can do is do it this way, because that's all it's going to take. We have the Regain Solution that you can watch that's inside of No BS. You may also want to start reading some of the, or listening to some of the maintenance classes that we're teaching right now. We kind of address some of this stuff in there. Module two will come out in August, and module two has a lot to do with some of this stuff about like if you are wanting to ease up and things like that. It's called the easing up trap. So we'll cover some of that in August, but for now, you need to think like, I would write the feeling out of control at the top and think, what are all the thoughts that I'm thinking around food and this 10 pounds that create the feeling of out of control? And then you look at all of those thoughts and it's like, all right, if I wanted to talk to myself in a calm way, in a reasonable way, how would I convey the same message to myself without it creating a sense of being out of control. All right, everybody, that's it for today. We are at the hour mark. I do want to celebrate one person, Angie Ciroletti. She just joined the Century Club. You may remember her from the Success Story panel in January at the Goal Getter event. She lost 40 more pounds this year and she has hit maintenance. So please make sure you celebrate her. I believe she posted something inside the Facebook group too. So congratulations, Angie. All right, y'all. I will see you this Sunday for coaching. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.